Well, friends, we were created to glorify God and to worship him in everything. The Apostle Paul commanded, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The First Catechism says that the main purpose of our existence is to glorify and enjoy God. And of course, all Christians are heading to a world where we will be glorifying and worshipping God day and night in his temple, Revelation chapter 7. Now, the obvious question to ask, of course, is how can we glorify God? And the logical and simple answer surely is just by pleasing God and doing what he has said. Now, God did give Adam directions for what he was to do and not to do. He was to work, tend, guard, keep the garden. He was to have dominion over all creation and livestock. He was to be fruitful and increase and subdue the earth to the glory of God. That of course, was quite a big assignment. He was not to touch the tree in the centre of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so Adam's day then was to be occupied by cultivating the garden and all that that entailed, feeding and caring for the animals, while praising God for all the enjoyable and the exciting, this new discoveries and blessings he found in the garden. The whole of Adam and Eve's life was to be a constant glorifying of God each and every day. Now, having been created upright and righteous in the beginning, it was natural and easy for Adam and Eve to enjoy daily life in the garden. And that was indeed the case each and every day, right up until they ate the forbidden fruit, right up until they disobeyed God, they enjoyed God and life was good. Now, to cut a long story short, God redeemed and restored mankind through Jesus Christ, his Son, so that mankind could again glorify God, not just one day a week, but all the time, 7 days a week, in everything that he did, just like the way it was before the fall. The whole of our lives are to be a glorifying of God. Now, we glorify God in many different ways. Not only when we sing and pray, it is not only in organized communal worship that we worship God, that we glorify him. We do not have to bend our knees or raise our hands or have any other physical movements to glorify or worship God. Glorifying God's an attitude and response of the heart when it recognizes and sees God's handiwork in life, in providence. We certainly glorify God when we acknowledge him and thank him for what he has done for us. Thankfulness to God for what is a wonderful distinguishing mark of a Christian. In Colossians 3:17, Paul said, "Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks." Yes, giving thanks to God the Father through him, through Christ. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul also said, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." The scriptures abound with exhortations to thank God, with the single term alone of give thanks to God appearing 57 times alone itself. God is pleased with us when we recognize and acknowledge and give thanks to him for his goodness to us. And Asaph in Psalm 50 tells us that God had no complaint with Israel regarding their sacrifices and offerings. "Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you, Your burnt offerings and your sacrifices are continually before me. But there was one type of sacrifice missing. And so Apphias tells him what it was. Offers to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. Psalm 50, verses 14 and 23. One of the infallible marks of an unbeliever is that they knew God. They saw his handiwork, what he did, but they did not honour him as God, and they did not give thanks to him. Romans 1, verse 21. So thankfulness is a mark of a Christian. God is glorified when we acknowledge him as the one behind the blessings and mercies of life. We can also glorify God in our social relationships, one with another. That's something that's very important to God. God has left us many directions how we should treat our neighbour, whatever his religion, his race, his lifestyle. In our now multicultural society, we are regularly surrounded with various ethnic neighbours. The Old Testament is full of instructions how we ought to be especially kind to the vulnerable sector in society and how we should treat the alien, the stranger, the poor, the widow, the orphan, the needy. It's amazing the number of instructions that are given to us how to treat these classes of people. Half of the Ten Commandments have to do with our attitude towards our neighbour. When you read what's required and implied in the Ninth Commandment, we stand condemned. The Ninth Commandment does not simply and only mean you shall not tell lies about your neighbour. There are positive implications in it and in all the commandments. Do we protect, do we promote our neighbour's good name? Do we go out of our way to seek our neighbour's welfare? Are we filled with pity at our enemy's misfortune? Do we correct false accusations against our enemy? Are we happy for them to be spread about, these false accusations? Well, if we do correct these false accusations, if we do live the way Jesus lived, we glorify God. We glorify God. God truly rejoices over seeing his people reflecting the spirit of his Son. For Jesus Christ was an example to us in his treatment of other people when he was here among us. This is what Christians are called to do, to be different from the world regarding our lifestyle and regarding our human relationships. Jesus stood out by his interest in and his love for and his care for all classes of people. He helped and healed people, whether they were vile or virtuous characters, without expecting anything in return. Jesus told us the parables about the Good Samaritan, the 10 lepers, the great banquet for a reason, and that reason was to highlight our duty toward our neighbour. We must realise that all the emphasis in the Bible on good works in the Old Testament and New Testament are not there as pointing us that this is the way of salvation. No, but rather, these good works are in the Bible to point out to us what is the fruit of the Spirit. This is the marks of a Christian. This is how a Christian lives. You'll know them by their fruits. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Good works in the Bible are there as the signs and marks of a true Christian. Jesus implored his disciples, let them see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. God is indeed glorified when we love one another and demonstrate his love to mankind. Jesus helped and all types of people, even those who did not acknowledge their healing. Where are the nine Remember the lepers? 1 out of 10 came to thank him. Jesus restored his assailant's ear when Peter had cut it off. Kindness to even enemies. Jesus' whole person was suffused with the love and heart of his Father in heaven. As God's children, you and I must seek grace to emulate, to copy the character and the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thus glorify God. Well, may God bless these thoughts to us.